What a great joy it is to welcome you to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church on this rainy springtime morning. I've been praying for rain. Apparently a lot of people have been praying for rain. And I am grateful to see this downpour. Hey, it's washing away the pollen.
Amen.
It's making sure our plants are deeply watered. And I am grateful as God washes away the road dust through the rain from heaven. My prayer today for your life is by the rain of the Holy Spirit. He would wash away what you know is not right. That residue of the old life that continues to just get after you and grant you the fullness of the power of His mighty Spirit. If you're a guest in our presence today, we're so delighted you're here. It would mean a lot to me if I could know that you were here today by the ever-present connection card. Would you take a moment and fill out the front side? Hold it until the end of the service, and I'll make reference to the back side as well. Couple of quick announcements to lift up. Today's the last day for tickets for our mother-daughter banquet. It's really one of the highlights of the spring. It is described with three words, elegant. Get it? Today is the last day to purchase tickets, and our own Jill Green will be body blocking you going out of the worship center to give you an opportunity to buy a ticket. And if she does not body block you, then Fred Haney will. As we're preparing for our Methodist men's dinner as well, tickets can be purchased. Then in your worship folder, please notice the Operation Christmas Child paragraph. Already we are thinking about children around the world that we will bless in conjunction with Samaritan's Purse, sending a wrapped shoebox with practical supplies and the good news of Jesus that will reach around the world. I'm so grateful for Donna Brown and other volunteers who are behind this project. We used up all of the shoeboxes last year. How many did we send last year? 305 wrapped and filled shoeboxes to little boys and girls in faraway places. We have exactly zero right now. How many did I say? Z-E-R-O. Can you help us by bringing a wrapped shoebox or unwrapped shoebox so that we can be prepared in the autumn to have our Operation Christmas Child yet again and bless children overseas? Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we delight to gather today believing that you were good, you were always good, and you were always up to something good in the lives of your people. We claim passionately in our scripture lesson this morning the truth. In all things, God works together for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But God, sometimes when we're in the midst of our life circumstances, it's hard to see, it's hard to feel, it's hard to experience your love. That's why we so desperately need each other. That's why we need a dynamic community of faith. So this morning we intercede for these within our community of faith whom we love, who are in need of your healing grace. God, there are others in our lives who need a touch of the Master's hand to bring healing to their bodies. And in this moment we intercede by the power of the great physician as we name them in our hearts before you. Great God, physical illness is not the only illness of the world. There's spiritual illness. Women and men caught in the grip of darkness, caught in the grip of sin, living beneath their spiritual potential. Those who are tearing down rather than building up. Those who are sowing hatred rather than sowing love. God, there's some even in our own families that are living in the darkness, the spiritual darkness, living far from you. God, we intercede for them today, believing that you are the Prince of Peace, the one that can bring hope and possibility into every life. And so we lift before you today those for whom we pray for spiritual awakening, new life, your very saving grace. Great God, there's not only the brokenness of the body and the brokenness of the spirit, but there's brokenness in relationships. We look about us and we see people desperately hurting, feeling rejected and alone. Those who have been injured and harmed by the words and the actions of others. Those wondering, do they have any place in the world? God, we know something about that sense of depression, that sense of a lost self-image, that sense of a broken dream. Oh God, because we have found a measure of your healing grace in Christ, we lift these whom we love into your presence. that you would restore to them the joy of salvation, that you would give to them a reason to move on. Oh God, we lift before you those who desperately need a touch of hope. God, we speak against the violence of the world, the violence that's seen in terrorism, the violence that is seen in brother taking a gun and pointing it at another brother. God, we know that violence is a part of living in a broken and fallen world, but we believe in a better message, the message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We remember today those who have lost their lives in recent terrorist attacks, those who have lost body parts because of the hatred of others. Oh God, we pray for the hearts of the leaders of the world who enable this kind of physical violence, and pray that you would speak to our leaders, that you would bring hope to their hearts, that we would see in each other brothers and sisters rather than enemies. We believe in the possibility of peace, and we pray for that peace now. God, in our own lives, we know that there are unredeemed places in our hearts. We gather today looking for your light, seeking your word, wanting desperately to taste and see how good you are. Some of us are lost because of relationships. Some of us are lost because of work. Some of us are lost because of finances. Some of us are lost because we've been terribly hurt. God, we open our spirits to you now, that the light of the Holy Spirit, the healing grace of the Holy Spirit would reach us even now. Oh God, we believe that you are the one who grants peace that passes all understanding. And in these moments, as we prepare for another week ahead of us, we seek that peace. And now with the confidence of the children of God, We pray, not in our name, but in the name of Jesus, praying as he taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to prepare your morning offering, your heartbeats of love for the goodness of God in your life. Your morning offering, a down payment on another person's salvation. Your morning offering that provides the ministry of this church to intersect with people who really hurt, that they might find healing grace, that they might find physical substance. As our ushers come forward, I invite you to join me in saying, Thank you, God, with your gifts. Groaning. What kind of feeling does that evoke in your spirit when you hear the word groaning? When you speak the word groaning, what kind of facial expression do you make? Groaning. It's an incredibly powerful biblical word. Our text this morning is from Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word. I hope you brought your Bibles, and I'd like to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8 now. Romans chapter 8, particularly beginning in verse 18 through the end of the chapter. St. Paul, who is our great teacher of the faith, one who has deeply experienced the redeeming grace of Jesus, missionary to the Gentile, majority contributor to the New Testament, speaks a great truth to every one of us who are on the spiritual journey of faith. And that word is this: expect groaning in your life. I want us to explore this morning for a few minutes what it means to become so spiritually alive that you can no longer deny the conditions of other people. So spiritually alive that you can no longer deny what is wrong in your own life. And it causes you a deep sense of groaning. Beginning in verse 18, Paul talks about the groaning of creation waiting to be redeemed. I'd like to pick up with our reading in verse 20. It's on the screen. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption into sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, a lot of us know something of groaning. You've worked too long in the yard, and you get up the next morning and your back is groaning. Maybe you think you're a little younger than you really are, and you get into a pickup basketball game with some guys that are a whole lot younger than you, and they take you to task on the court. The next morning, you're groaning. Maybe you've come to the place in life where your knee or your hip aren't behaving quite like they're supposed to behave, and you know something of groaning. We know something of physical groaning. But that's not what St. Paul is talking about. He's talking about spiritual groaning. I mean, deep down in your heart. I like that word groaning. He uses it several times in Romans chapter 8. And in this context, to groan means the unexpressible feeling of a person caught in a challenging situation with no apparent means of redemption. Being caught in the grip of some emotional situation, some spiritual situation, some relational situation, some self-image situation that has you in a crisis mode, and there does not seem to be an immediate way forward. Now, I know that there's some Christian traditions that it's all about victory. And if you've got Christ in your heart, if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, every day is going to be victory. Hallelujah. Amen. There will be no pain, no strain. It will be victory all the way. But that is not what St. Paul teaches. I want you to look very carefully with me at Romans 8, verse 23. I never saw this insight until I was preparing for this message. Paul is speaking to believers. Not only believers, but those who have begun to taste and experience personally the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 23. He says, "But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly." Why? it's actually a sign of growing in your spiritual journey, maturing in the faith, going on to Christian perfection, as John Wesley taught, to experience seasons of groaning in your life. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit begins to awaken you on the journey of faith, you can no longer deny the residual of sin that continues to live in your life. It causes you great pain. When the Holy Spirit of God is alive in you, you can no longer turn a blind eye to the hurt and the deprivation of others. The Spirit awakens in you a deep connection with those who hurt. And the only word that Paul could use is described as a spiritual groaning. Feeling the burden of brokenness in your own life, feeling the burden of brokenness in another person's life, and being deeply affected by it. By that definition, do you know something of groaning? In the 12th century, the great Spanish mystic and saint, Saint John of the Cross, described that kind of groaning as the dark night of the soul. Paul, in our text for this morning, describes it as birth pains. Now, I have to be honest with you. I don't know nothing about birthing babies. And everything I know about birthing babies, I've seen on TV. And Paul makes this interesting connection with birthing babies. Being in the midst of an intense moment of pain, which gives way to something miraculous and wonderful and new. The sense of being used by God as an agent by which something can be brought new into the world is the image that St. Paul uses. Now, again, I don't know nothing about birthing babies, so don't send me any emails, but one of my favorite new grandmothers couldn't wait to get a hold of me after the 8 o'clock service and say, now, when I came along and I was having my babies, I was out. I don't remember it. I was there, but I don't remember it. But I got to be there for my daughter's birthing. And she said, it's an incredible process. When the labor pain strikes, you're supposed to push. Is that right? Hello? When the labor pain strikes, you're supposed to push. And she said, we could see the head of my little grandbaby just for a moment. And then it was like he was saying, I'm not ready. And he'd go back. And then push, almost as like, though he was saying hello, but not quite. And push. And this new grandmother said, I just didn't think my daughter's going to be able to do it. I mean, she was absolutely worn out in the process. I just knew we would have to do a C-section. But the pain came, she pushed, and a miracle was delivered. St. Paul wants us to internalize that concept. Those of you ladies who have actually experienced it, and those of you guys who have seen it or read about it, how that for a moment, the pain of life gives way to the birth of something miraculous and new. May I confess to you that I frequently groan. I groan for a particular person in my life who has not yet come to know Christ, and I do not want him to come to the end of his life before he meets Jesus Christ. There are moments that I begin to see him getting close to the Lord, and then it's like it all goes away. I groan for him. I groan for you. Over these 6 full years now, you've allowed me insight into the real brokenness of your life, and my heart groans for you. Groans for you who are desperate for a relationship. It groans for you who are desperately trying to get over an abusive relationship. It groans for you who are longing to find a place of productivity in the world. It longs for you who are groaning to find your place of ministry in the world. It groans for you who have children and grandchildren who have gone astray and are caught in the grip of addiction. My heart groans for you. My heart groans for those who have lost their life partner to death and feel like they are in a free fall. My heart groans for you. Because you cannot be spiritually alive and care for others and not groan for the needs of those in your life. But in the midst of all this groaning language, Paul gives us what is for me one of my all-time favorite life verses, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 is set within the context of groaning, the groaning of creation, the groaning of relationships, the groaning of the Spirit. And he says, in the midst of all that groaning going on, here's the hope that keeps us going. We know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You mamas who have already birthed babies, you mamas who are fixing to birth two, didn't you have a sense of hope, a reason to push on believing that something miraculous was fixing to be delivered? Somebody say amen. Paul says that's the hope that we have as believers. In the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of not knowing how it's going to work out or when it's going to work out or if it will ever work out, there is a word of hope. For God works all things together for good, the good things and the bad things, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. If we do not lose heart, I wonder, do you know what it's like to groan so deeply and so long that you simply want to give up? The hope Paul offers us, the hope that I've experienced in my life, is the hope to press on, because God is good and He is up to something good in the life of every believer. But I need reminders of that. Would you think less of me if I told you in the 6 years that we've been together, I've experienced two extended periods of groaning? Apparently the first one I covered up pretty well and you didn't know about it. Apparently, this last one I didn't cover up very well, and it caused some of you alarm. I had a person tell me one time that she could not listen to a pastor who had any doubts, that had any brokenness in his life, that she could not listen to any pastor who was not consistently living in victory. And she left my church. Will you think less of me because I tell you that I've been in two extended periods of groaning for others? I'm a person that responds to music. I don't know what it is about godly music that speaks to me. In my first time of groaning, God used two classical pieces of church music to be a constant reminder to me to push and to keep believing. The first one is a 12th century text of the church The text is God Be in My Head, set magnificently by the Cambridge composer John Rutter. And I would play that piece followed by Rutter's setting of number 6, 24 through 26, a text I kind of like. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. And I would have extended periods of prayer, even sometimes through the entire night, immersing myself in the promise that God is not done, that though I cannot see a way out, that though I feel incredibly burdened, that though I am groaning in intercession for others, God is up to something good. And it gave me hope. In this second extended period of groaning, God used a completely contemporary piece of music composed just recently by a young singer-songwriter named Jason Gray. It is a text that I have played over and over again as I have been in a period of groaning over unresolved issues in my life, over and over again with unresolved issues in your life. And the name of the piece of music is simply this. Oh, this gives me hope. Nothing is wasted in the hand of our Redeemer. I've printed the text on the back of your worship folder. It reminds me of Romans 8:28. In all things, good things and bad things, in the hand of our Redeemer, God works for the good of those who love Him. I wonder if, because I'm willing to be vulnerable with you, to tell you that I experience seasons of groaning. I mean, painful times of groaning. But you might be willing to admit to yourself that groaning as well. Acknowledging that it's actually a normative part of a person who is growing in faith, that sensitivity to brokenness in yourself, that sensitivity to brokenness in others, is a sure sign of the first fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, according to St. Paul, Romans 8:23. But maybe this morning you've been groaning so long you're ready to give up. Would you allow me to share with you this song that has ministered to my heart? I checked on my iPhone, on iTunes, to see how many times I had played this song. I've played it more than 150 times. And maybe it'll speak to your heart in the midst of your groaning and give you hope, too.
The hurt that broke your heart and left you trembling in the dark, feeling lost and alone. We'll tell your hopes a lie, but what if every tear you cry will see joy will grow. Nothing's wasted, nothing's wasted in the hands of our Redeemer. Nothing's wasted. It's from the deepest wounds that beauty finds a place to bloom. Found again. Nothing's wasted, nothing's wasted. Sometimes we are waiting in the sorrow we've tasted. But joy will replace it. Nothing's wasted in the hands of our Redeemer.
Where do you feel in your life you've been wasted? Or you are being wasted? Where do you see another person who's being wasted? I am counting on this song. Because I am counting on the one who said, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I wonder, in the quietness of your heart right now, would you imagine holding in your hands the pain of the brokenness or the regret, the groans of the fear or the uncertainty, the groans of the doubt or the simply being worn out, the groans of the spirit that live inside of you? And in the quietness of this place, offer them to the Lord. Believe with me that nothing is wasted in the hands of our Redeemer. I'd like for you to have just a quiet moment of prayer as we hear this song one more time.
Trembling in the dark, feeling lost and alone. We'll tell your hopes a lie, but what if every tear you cry will seed the ground where joy will grow? wasted in the hands of our Redeemer. Nothing's wasted. Nothing's wasted. Nothing's wasted in the hands of our
give to God the pieces that feel broken in you. I invite you to come this morning and receive from Him the tokens of His amazing grace and love that can give you the courage and the perseverance to pray through your groaning, believing that God is up to something good for you. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can greet you with the hope of this great invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament as we pray together, saying, "We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Hear the good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, based on the authority of the matchless Word of God and my office as a minister in His church, I delight to declare you and I are forgiven people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as God's forgiven and reconciled people, we can approach God with a sense of hope and anticipation. And so I say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name with this unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover Lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in speaking this ancient hymn of faith. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered at this holy table today. You're invited to come by the center part of the worship center, receive just a dollop of hand sanitizer since we do dip from a common cup. With the hands extended, receive consecrated bread, dip it into the consecrated chalice, receive these tokens of God's goodness in your life. And then because God has been so good to you, I invite you to leave a special offering as you go back by the side aisles. There are baskets, and all that we receive today at Holy Communion and all three of our services will benefit our Good Samaritan outreach. Last year, you gave more than $15,000 to meet the needs of people right here in Rockdale County that are truly struggling. I invite you to join me in making your special gift today. I'd like to invite Keith Keller to join me in the serving of the elements, and you are invited to come now to the table of the Lord. I invite you to join me now in the prayer of thankful dedication. As together we say, Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I invite you to find your connection card again. I hope you'll underline in your Bibles Romans 8:28 and commit that great promise to memory. It's an opportunity for you to respond, indicating your desire to become a follower of Christ, to know what it means to be saved and become a part of His church. At the bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me, to give me the privilege of interceding for you, to believe with you that God is up to something good in the midst of whatever challenges you face. You complete your card, I invite you to fold it over and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center this morning. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace. Perfect peace. I claim that for you now, in the name of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.